We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The Upswing, all about commerce, community, and today, the business of sports. We'll do an IndyCar debrief from the weekend. What was the impact? We'll talk about autograph values and NFL quarterbacks and a helmet charity initiative from a former Packers quarterback, the power of Dick's Sporting Goods and local sporting goods, how we buy and why, pickleball franchises staking claim in the state of Wisconsin, NFL pops up in Brazil with the Packers, and much, much more. The business of sports. Mark Cass from Team Lammy joins us this morning. But let's quickly do two up, as we do each and every morning here on The Upswing. Number one, reporting from the Milwaukee Business Journal yesterday. You want to buy a house near Lambeau? Well, let me give you some prices. The Packers obviously kick off the season this Friday. They're looking to sell the last two available townhomes in their Titletown development near Lambeau Field. The team built 35 townhomes within the development, and another 19 units are planned in 2025, right after the team hosts the NFL draft. Now, there's two on the market right now. Mark Cass, I'm going to quiz you a little bit here. The asking price for a three-story unit, it's 2,800 square feet, right. Three bedrooms, okay. Two full bathrooms, two half baths, according to the listings with Sotheby's. What do you think the asking price is
probably
for this unit?
Probably $900,000, we think.
Oh, you're pretty close. Right. $1.395 million.
Yeah. Think about this, Jeff. I've been going up to Lambeau for 20, 25 years at least. And you know, when I first went up there, some of the homes were probably worth $60,000, $80,000. Now, if you own a home near Lambeau and it's not already owned through the Packers, it's worth a lot of money. Those, I mean, that area and what they've, and kind of what they've accomplished over the past few years with that development, with the snowboarding, I'm sorry, with the hill.
Yeah.
And then all the retail, really having that hotel there is just phenomenal and has raised the values in that area. I mean, if you own a home a block off, it's worth a lot more now.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Without a doubt.
So kind of what do you think? We're going to split this one? You get it
Let's
half
go.
The year.
I get
it.
Okay, we both work in sponsorship there business. Let's okay. find a sponsor right. and sponsor. Come in on it together.
Sponsor our house. I like
We're
that.
We're done. All right. Another thing you got to keep an eye on, though, the homeowner association fees for this unit alone.
Yeah.
$497 a month. So that's on top of whatever the mortgage is.
What, does that include my tickets? Season tickets, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Come
no,
on now.
That's just
you
to make sure the lawn looks nice and the
There's
traffic.
There's no lawn there. What are you talking about?
It's a little piece of grass that you get. It's not the field, though.
I can walk to the game, though. I don't have to worry about having a place for my car, right? So I'm good.
Indeed. So another Titletown townhome on the market right next to that. $1,275,000. That unit has 2,800 square feet, the same number of bedrooms and bathrooms. Next, something I saw on multiple entities yesterday, including Bloomberg. The Macallan is a Scotch brand in Scotland, raising the stakes and prices on its collectible whiskey and betting that single malt aficionados will be willing to lay down double six figures for an extra age dram of liquid history. Now, if you're going to have a scotch or a whiskey for the Packers game, you might, I don't know, you might want to look twice at this one. The price tag on this historic two-bottle 84-year-old whiskey, the oldest and rarest from the distillery, $190,000, Mark Cass.
That's a heck of a drink, Jeff. Are you?
Yeah.
Hopefully on you, not on me, right?
Yes.
You're buying that one?
Yeah. I don't know.
What is it like? You know, it's got to be like liquid magic, right? Or something there? What do you think for that price?
It is. It's a flask inside of a flask, and it's notable. It's one of the first that was made in the facility in Speyside, Scotland. So there's a lot of historic value here, but
There is.
The company declined to say how many of the bottles will be released, except that it's a very, very small run.
All right. Well, I expect to see one next time I'm in for the show. What do you think? You'll have one for us?
Yes, yes. My advice, maybe just go with a $49.99 bottle from Blue Ash Farm in Argyle, Wisconsin. Right. I'm going to support local. I'm going to go that way.
Always go local. Always go for a little less than that. You can, you know, you can spread it out among your friends a little bit more. That's, it seems a bit on the high end. But, you know, Jeff, I know you're a high-end person, so I'm okay.
Right. All right. Very good. When we come back, the business of sports continues with Mark Cass. We're going to do our coffee index. My coffee is going to be a little less expensive than this scotch.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Black, black, black.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Mark Cass from Team Lammy, the business of sports. But first, coffee. Where'd we stop this morning, producer Jaslyn? Where'd you stop this morning?
I went to the Colectivo on 1st and Pittsburgh, which I meant to go to the one that were Lincoln, KK, and Howell intersect, but I took a weird route and went around. It's like, oh, right, there's another one up ahead. So,
all right. And you did a 12-ounce.
Yes.
And what did it set you back?
$2.93.
Oh, wow. All right. I did the 12-ounce.
You got a deal
well.
There, didn't you? I think you got a pretty good deal
for
$2.93.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Nothing,
you know, under
$3. Not a frappe or a latte or nothing
like
that,
I feel
like, right?
The chains are a little cheaper, which I hate to say because I like to go to the smaller local places, but
well, hey, still local at its heart.
It is,
you know,
it's
right?
very much so.
As Fiddleheads is, yes. Too. I stopped at Fiddleheads in Shorewood. A 12-ounce was $2.95. You add the 19 cents for tax, came to $3.14. Mm. You know, this isn't a big competition,
no.
But you know, you saved a little bit more money than I did, Jess.
Yeah, how much is that 20 cents is going to? What are you going to spend that on today?
I don't know. I'm saving it for San Francisco at this point.
Oh, all right,
that'll get you nothing.
I have a question for you, though. You like to get cream and sugar in your coffee, right?
Yes.
Do you prefer it when the barista puts it in, or do you like having a station to put it in yourself?
I'd rather do it myself, because no matter what you say, I'm like, I'm just a splash. Sometimes they leave too much or not
right,
enough.
Right, and I just like having the option, because I hate asking for it. I just like, it's kind of nice to customize it yourself.
And I'm a total creature of habit. I do half regular and half decaf, and this morning, I walked in and they're like, we're not brewing decaf anymore. It's too expensive.
It feels like a lot of places I go to don't do decaf, so I just don't ask
really?
Anymore.
Yeah. So
Isn't that like an offer you have to have?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe it's the back to school thing. You know,
there
parents
you
just need the full caffeinated version.
Wait, no. I think I need that in the summertime, wouldn't you?
I'm going to have to switch to cold brew or something. I don't know. Maybe that's my calling. We'll see. Anyway. The Upswing Coffee Index, always on top of the price for your morning coffee. IndyCar recap over the weekend, Mark. Fan response to IndyCar's return to Milwaukee. I think it was pretty critical that we had a really good weekend of ticket sales and impact. The Milwaukee Mile features grandstands that I think hold about 30,000 fans.
Yep, overall,
it's previous races, you got to go back to 2015, the last time IndyCar was here. But, you know, we didn't really approach that level, but I was hearing there were about 17,000 tickets sold in advance, another two or three walk up. So, I mean, a pretty strong weekend.
Yeah, I think overall it was a very strong weekend for them with kind of the expectation. I think they lucked out with weather. It was a fantastic weekend for weather. So they got walk up. The other thing I think was a very smart move where they activated the grounds. So as you walk down the grounds, you saw, I mean, a lot of the restaurants that are open for State Fair were open for this event. You could have that corn dog. You could have that thing on a stick, whatever the heck it was. They didn't have cream puffs. I didn't see any cream puffs,
right.
but I saw a lot. And you know, having music on the grounds, having the drivers on the grounds at certain points for autographs and photos, I think was a very smart activation because you had people there who went there just for that, who didn't go into the race. So you got a lot more than just the hardcore race fans. You got some of the casual people went there. I was impressed. I thought it was well. I thought it showed well on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked well. I thought overall it was a good weekend. I think it could be better, but I think it's just a start. It's the first year. I mean, they've already announced plans for next year, Jeff. They're going to be back. They're going to be a weekend earlier. So it'll be interesting because it won't be the holiday weekend next year. Will that help or hurt? Because we did get a lot of people up from Indiana, they said, which I thought was interesting. A lot of outsiders who came into the market, which is good for the economic impact, but how will that play next year? So, no, I think they have I say it was good. I think it can be great. I think they have an opportunity to grow, especially with, I think they need to expand hitting the business community. I didn't see a lot of support there. I didn't see a lot of sweet stuff. A lot of hospitality. So I think there's opportunity there. But overall, I thought it was a very nice event. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that will help, obviously the Wisconsin State Building Commission has approved $3 million worth of upgrades to the mile that will begin in the off season and continue for the next two seasons. So that will help that corporate presence.
I also think what I was impressed with was all the respect for the track itself, the history of the track from the drivers, from IndyCar, from the state fair, that people love that track. They love to race there. They love to be there. So I thought really important as you look at this for next year, for the, you know, I think you have to show me, you know, sometimes around here, you got to show me kind of what happens. So I think that was good. I think next year is a great opportunity. I think it has to grow next year. And then kind of what happens after that, because all they've committed to is one more year.
Yeah. I pulled this quote from the Penske Corporation president, Bud Denker, said, "As I mentioned to somebody, this is a startup," Denker continued.
Yeah.
"We are starting this thing back up again, and you don't start it up immediately by selling every seat you have in place."
I think that's very valid. I think they have that. What I was also impressed with was the hardcore racing fans. They came from all over. As I said, I saw license plates from Illinois, from Iowa, from Indiana. So, it drew, which I think we have to look at through the larger lens of economic impact, because all those people were probably staying at hotels. They were eating in restaurants. They were spending money in our region, which is important on a holiday weekend. You're like, we don't want to see all those Illinoisans, I would say, kind of drive through on their way up north, right? We want them to stop here and spend money. So I think this race is important. It also had a lot of competition. Think of that. Think of all the things that were going on again with the holiday weekend. What was going on the lakefront? What was that thing called? The Wake?
Yeah, the Red Bull Wake City.
Which was, another great event. Yep. Another thing. So there was a lot of competition. So I think overall it was a strong weekend.
All right. The Business of Sports, Mark Cass from Team Lammy. Up next, private equity entering the NFL and helmets for sale from Bart Starr and his foundation. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the Business of Sports. Mark Cass from Team Lammy joins. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. So as we are getting close to NFL kickoff, the NFL, one of the most valuable entities, obviously, in all professional sports, Mark.
It is the
marquee entity, right?
No doubt.
Well, you can, you know,
I mean,
there's
the Cowboys,
a couple others that are going to, you know, look
Cowboys,
at Euro soccer and some others.
Okay.
But finally letting institutional investors enter its rich ranks. What do you think the impact of this? Could it change the game and salaries? The dynamics of letting private equity into ownership.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, you know, anytime you can access cash, access money, it's easier for them. It clearly is a great asset, as we've seen. Think about the Cowboys. Think about that, what that's worth, the stadium, the ratings. I mean, the contract. You know, one place where we obviously know it's not going to happen is up in Green Bay because of what goes on. But think about Green Bay. They sell stock every, 8, 10, 12 years, and they make how much money? You know, $20 million, $50 million, $80 million. So that shows it shows something about Packer fans, but two, what it means, the value of an NFL team. So I think this is a smart move. It widens the pool. It widens some of these owners to kind of more cash because they're not taking a majority interest. They're only taking a very small minority interest. You know, I don't see how it's a bad thing. Obviously they have to make sure it's the right investors, the people who will kind of enhance the value, which I obviously are going to. So I think this is a smart move by the NFL. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, they are at the peak right now. I mean, if you think of sports, they're at the top. There are other leagues, as you said, who are coming up to them. But when it comes to NFL and revenue, it is the NFL.
Yeah, you can create more impact with additional revenue and more investors.
And now playing every night of the week pretty much, right? They pretty much have, I mean, come on, we're opening on Friday night this year. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, so in terms of the athletes you're working with at Team Lammy, what are you seeing in the autograph space?
Are
athletes still, part of me thinks like the selfie has overtaken the autograph.
I think you're right. I think autographs are there. I don't see it as much. I don't see as many requests. I don't see it as a value. I know just kind of when I was growing up, autographs were a huge deal. Now I'm older. My, Others I've seen kind of as they come, autographs were, but now it's the photo. People love to get a photo with somebody.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of autographs hanging on the wall, right? You see a selfie on the wall. You see a selfie on social media. That's what people want. So, yeah, I would agree. Autographs are still important, but I don't think they're as important as they've been in the past.
Yeah. And
other than yours. I want yours.
After the show, I may oblige. I don't know. Yes.
I only want a check.
That's right. A blank check.
A blank check would be cool.
So, people may not remember this, but before Bart Starr passed away in 2019, he would write letters at the beginning of the season to every NFL quarterback in the league, wishing them good luck.
An amazing man, an amazing individual who had a tremendous... the stories you hear now, the stories you heard when he was alive, I think are amazing. The stories you hear now about what he meant to the NFL, and all the calls he made to quarterbacks around the league, here in Green Bay specifically, where each year he would talk with Aaron Rodgers and Favre. What an amazing individual.
Yeah, so beginning Thursday, Helmets for Heroes from the Star Foundation, all 32 starting NFL quarterbacks, along with a few other well-known NFL athletes, have joined together to raise money for pediatric cancer. Each quarterback donated his own signed helmet to be auctioned off as part of Helmets for Heroes, an online auction that opens at 7 a.m. on September 5th. So the Helmets for Heroes auction is going to last 10 days, run through September 15th. All the money raised will go to STARS Children's Fund and support research efforts that impact the lives of all the true heroes, pediatric cancer patients across the country.
I mean, it's amazing. He's no longer with us, which is a shame, but he's still impacting this world. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
To help raise money for kids.
Yeah.
Kids who have cancer. I mean, there is nothing worse than that.
Every NFL quarterback participating in this, a wonderful legacy to kick off the NFL season. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. How much does it cost to get into the pickleball venue world today? How is the sport growing, and where is it growing in Wisconsin? Greg Straub, one of the franchise owners of Pickleball Kingdom in Milwaukee, Madison, and soon Green Bay, joins us on the phone. Greg, thanks for taking time this morning.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. Mark Cass joins us as well. This is the business of sports, and you can't not talk about the business of sports without talking about the growing sport of pickleball.
Jeff, it's actually is in my contract, right? We have to talk about it every time I'm on the air.
Yes.
Talk about pickleball because, there's guys like Greg who are out there opening places in the Milwaukee area. So,
yeah, it's great to see. So, Greg, how did you get into the sport in the first place?
Well, I've been an avid tennis player for many, many years and grew within that sport, both just play as well as on the administrative side. And 4 or 5 years ago, started to play pickleball. And as I played more and more pickleball, one of the things that I truly recognized is most sports are, you kind of have to build yourself into the group or the clique. If you've got three guys waiting to play tennis and your fourth guy was ill, it's a different experience than playing pickleball. When the minute you walk out onto a pickleball court, the minute you show up, everyone is welcoming. It's a community. It's amazing. You don't have to know anyone. You can be a stranger if you have a paddle in your hand. If you show up and don't have a paddle, there'll be three people standing on a court saying, hey, you want to play? Come on out. Come on out and join us. We got a paddle for you to borrow.
Yeah, really easy, no barrier to entry. You can step on the court and be a part of it.
I mean, I've seen it here in Milwaukee. I have a group of about eight guys I started with who play every Sunday. Now that group's like 20, 25 because everybody wants to play. Not a lot of them knew each other before. Now they all do. Now they all work on things together. So it's a way to know people, to meet people. And the other thing that's interesting, Jeff, is it was a sport. It was an older person sport for a long time. We heard about it in Florida and Arizona. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays it's all ages. They're playing it in high school. They're playing it in their 20s and 30s. I mean, I played the other night with my daughter. Mm-hmm. She plays in a league at a bar here in Milwaukee every Monday night.
Yeah.
20s and 20-year-olds are playing this sport.
Yeah. Multi-generational for sure. So, Greg, Pickleball Kingdom is the largest indoor pickleball entity. Last week, you announced your expansion into Green Bay. Already have locations coming, Menominee Falls and Madison. Can you walk us through some of the basic economics, you know, franchise fees, startup costs, just how you went about identifying those three markets for Pickleball Kingdom?
Well, in terms of the costs, you know, they're such a wide variable, because you start, once you make that decision that you're going to move forward, now you have to look for a location, because the we're in Wisconsin. We have tough weather, we have snow, we have rain, we have wind, we have leaves everywhere. So you've got to find an indoor location that's suitable. And now it's, is it a retail? Is it a former grocery store? Is it a light industrial building? Are the ceilings high enough? How wide are the posts? So the costs are dramatically varied depending on where you find that location. But what we've been able to do is look at these locations. They give us the opportunity to put in a high number of courts, 16, 17 courts, professional level surfaces. So those novice players will have a great place to learn the sport, and those that are truly addicted to it will have a top of the line professional surface and a gathering place, because this really is community. So our costs are kind of all over the board, yeah. But we've identified that we have a great state. We have a great group of folks that really want to play. They're driving this, as Mark stated, more and more people, young, old, middle-aged, young kids. This is going to be a high school sport within the next couple of years, and they're talking about it as an Olympic sport.
Greg Straub, one of the franchise owners from Pickleball Kingdom, opening three locations in the state of Wisconsin. When we come back, we'll talk about the membership model and just the kind of the market potential, especially in Green Bay, a smaller market. But I want to get your insights there, Greg. This is The Upswing. This is the business of sports. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Pickleball Kingdom making its way across the state of Wisconsin. Just announced plans for expansion into Green Bay, also Menominee Falls and Madison. Greg Straub joins us via phone. So, Greg, the location you're going into in Green Bay, what was the former use of that space?
It was a former fitness center.
Okay.
That the fitness center has gone out of business.
Okay. And when you're looking at kind of the business model for Pickleball Kingdom, obviously it's membership based, cost wise. Is there a court time and court rentals? Are you going to offer coaching services and events? Kind of what's the mix of opportunities at a Pickleball Kingdom?
Well, one of the absolutely fantastic benefits of Pickleball Kingdom is, once you're a member, there's no time that you can play as much as you want. There's no court rental fees. You can schedule your courts 2 weeks in advance, so you always have a set time. You know you can gather with your friends to play. But aside from membership revenue, yeah, we'll have, obviously, for the beginners, if they want to just drop in and play, we'll have some revenue there. We've got pros that'll be offering lessons. We have a fully outfitted pro shop. We have a bar and food offerings. Corporate events, team building events, birthday parties, Christmas parties, other events were set up to handle that and teach people how to play, as well as, you know, sponsorship and advertising revenue. Everybody wants to be a part of this fastest craze that's taking us all by storm.
You know, really important, Jeff, because if you think about it, when he says indoor courts, how important that is in the Milwaukee area. You know, for those of us who play outdoors and indoors, I play both, but when you play outdoors, your season runs from May, maybe May, through like early October.
Right.
So, and then after that, it's a crapshoot. You got to figure out sometimes rain, snow. So to have an indoor option, which we don't have a lot of right now, we have very few indoor options. So to have that place where it's just the pickleball, I think it's going to be huge in the region. You're seeing it here. You're seeing other ones that are opening in the area. I think over the next few years, I think I've said this on the air before, we're going to see three or four of these in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
It's important because where they're opening is out in Menominee Falls. It's a very strong area for pickleball. You go north into the Grafton, into that area, there's a big, strong community. And then you go south into the Franklin Oak Creek area. There's a lot of pickleball players. And, of course, right here in the heart of the city, You know, okay. I mean, I think it's really growing. So I think smart move here.
Yeah. And I've seen some stats that Milwaukee and the greater Milwaukee area is actually underserved from pickleball courts. I mean, yes, you can repurpose tennis courts into pickleball courts, but it's just not the same. And I'm sure that's what your research found too, Greg, right?
I mean, really not the same. Greg can talk about that more. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, having what the players want to see is they want to have something catered to them, a dedicated court without lines all over the place. They want a professional level surface, not playing on a wooden floor, not playing on a gym floor. And that's what Pickleball Kingdom is bringing to the market. Professional level surfaces, you'll feel like you're on the PPA tour when you're playing at our location. But we're such a community driven organization. We welcome everyone. We want everybody to come and play. We want the 8-year-olds to learn and the 88-year-olds to learn, and everybody become a part of that following.
All right. Can you give us a basic rundown of what a membership costs and then a time frame for opening of the facilities?
While we haven't finalized, it'll be less than $100 a month if you want to be a member with all those benefits. Timing-wise, we are working with our GC and working with the folks and the subcontractors right now in Menominee Falls. We're pushing hard. Green Bay will be shortly after that. We want to make sure that we dedicate our time and resources, get Menominee Falls finished, and then focus on Green Bay, and then focus on Madison. So keep watching all of the social media channels, and obviously Mark is going to play a key role in how we move forward. So he'll have all the inside scoop as well.
All right, very good. Pickleball Kingdom coming strong to the state of Wisconsin. I got pickleball paddles for Christmas last year, so it's on my list.
We're gonna get
you're
going to
finally get me out
you
of the
You and
court.
I are going to play together, and you know, I'm going to have to let you win like one game. No, wait. I'm going to let you win 1 point, not one game.
Very good. Greg, thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
The Business of Sports on the Upswing with Mark Cass continues when we come back. The Packers in Brazil on Friday. What's the impact there? And how much are tickets going for on StubHub and Vivid Seats? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Upswing, the Business of Sports. Mark Cass from Team Lammy joins us this morning. The NFL is digging into market share in soccer-crazed countries. Brazil, Friday, Packers, Eagles. Friday night at an arena that holds 49,
as she said.
42.9, I think.
Okay, much smaller than Lambeau. Lambeau's 80,000, so what a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, basically half as big.
So I looked on Vivid Seats yesterday. You had tickets starting at about $182, going up to $1,800.
Okay.
But you could get the lower corner for $380.
All right. What do you think? What do you think? We just hop on a plane right after the show?
I didn't check airfare, but we could probably be there in game
time.
You
got a private plane, don't you? We could just check that.
Yes.
It is.
StubHub had seats starting at $152, going up to $775. Some of the corners at $257.
Fascinating. Think about London a couple years ago and how expensive the tickets were. I think it's just an easier trip to get to London than it is to get to Brazil.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I also think it's just, you know, that was a big deal. This is a big deal too, but it's not the same. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how many Packer fans and how many Eagle fans are there. That'll be real interesting to watch. And kind of what is it like down there for Brazil? I mean, how many fans of each of the teams? These are two very well-known teams.
Right.
Very popular teams. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, one thing to watch, if you're going to take a last-minute trip to the game, the StubHub fees sometimes almost $500 per ticket in certain situations. That's never uniform,
no,
so that's always pay attention to that when you're buying secondhand.
I was going to watch the game on X. What about you? No, never mind. We shouldn't talk about that.
How will that impact the game, that second screen watching X isn't available to journalists
who
there.
Right. Or just people who are
we'll
there.
We'll have to rely on the local journalists and local impact.
People watching. That's going to be such a change. Because think over the past few years, how you watch a game now. I mean, I'm always looking at Twitter for the analysis, for the injury update, for what's going on in the stadium if I'm not at the stadium. So I think that's really going to change how we watch this game. It'll be very interesting.
Yep. Another thing the NFL is doing in Brazil is working with their partner Fanatics to do 6 pop-up NFL shops all around. Yes.
Trying to make money.
Sell merch.
Try trying to sell jerseys. I'm shocked. What, you know, very smart. There's probably not a lot of those jerseys already in Brazil. So really smart move. You'll see a lot of Packer jerseys. The problem here, Jeff, is they're all green, right? Where the Eagles are green, the Packers are green.
That's right.
Not going to really be able to tell that. So
yeah. All right. So quickly on the Brewers movie, 1982. What? Give us the rundown of the VIP event, and then when does that open in Marcus Theaters to the general public?
September 11th is the VIP event, 1 week from
tonight.
That's
next Wednesday.
It's virtually, we're sold out at 300 tickets. Great night. A lot of players. I'm going to give you a little scoop here. We're about to add a second premiere on Thursday night, the 12th. Ah. So watch for information online about that. So,
nice.
So another opportunity. And then it opens on the 13th of September. Tremendous response throughout the Milwaukee area, throughout the Madison area. So much so in the state, they've added theaters up in La Crosse and up in Wausau. Marcus Theaters is handling this. I mean, just an overwhelming response to this movie. People are excited. There is just something about that team. I mean, I remember it as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, the 82 Brewers were so unique. They were so much fun. They hit the ball hard, and they went out all night and partied, and they just had a lot of fun. And there's something about that. So I think it's going to be a great time, great movie.
Yeah, obviously with the team playing really well
that
now,
you
can cross the generations.
Yes.
You're like, hey, wow, this was the last time the team was in the World Series
literally,
1982.
The only time.
And now we got a good chance this season.
We
so
have
go
a great
see
chance.
The movie.
And also a great story. You don't remember that season. It was an amazing season. They fired their manager like 60 games in. They almost didn't make the playoffs if they didn't win on the last Sunday of the year. They almost lost to the Angels in the first round. They were winning the World Series, Jeff. They were up 3-2.
And good, great hitters and a lot of strong, wonderful
and
personalities, the 1982 characters. Brewers.
Just think about, we've said this a number of times throughout the last couple of weeks as we've helped this movie. Think about these characters nowadays with Twitter, with Facebook, with Instagram, with the Threads. It'd be a whole different story. Corbin Thomas out at night. What do you think?
Yes, I love it. All right. The Business of Sports. Mark Cass joins us on this Wednesday.